As he continued this series on, and we're talking about relationships, this whole series we're calling Come Sit With Us, because we believe in the body of Christ, one of the things that the enemy is trying to take from the church is community, is doing life together. That's why we, in this season, you're like, oh, they're doing another food thing after church? Yes, because we believe that, it's, you know, and 2 weeks ago, I talked about this, and yeah, COVID played some of it, but also, if you look at the stats that we shared 2 weeks ago, since 1990, this has been on decline, not just in the church, but in culture. And it's a strategy of the enemy, because even Jesus said, listen, as that day approaches, do not forsake yourselves from the assembling together. Jesus looked at what would happen in the last day. And he said through that statement that one of the strategies of the enemy is it's going to be to separate people. All right, come on, get everybody to live in isolation. Why? There's that old saying that says the first banana from the bunch is the first to get peeled, right? Like you don't want to be the one separated from the bunch. There's strength when we're together. And so we're going to continue on in that series today. And you know, I don't know about you, but have you ever had something happen in your life and you could not tell if it was God stopping you, the enemy fighting you, or just life being life, right? Like, what is happening? Is this God? Is this me? Is this just the transmission? I don't know why all of this happened. And a closed door. And you know, you had a door maybe that closed and you're wondering, is this rejection or is this redirection, right? Maybe a relationship has shifted and you're wondering, is God protecting me or am I just being hurt again? Maybe you had an opportunity that just didn't work out and you're like, did I miss God? Am I in the wrong or did he save me from something that I could not see? Right? Maybe a conversation happened or a warning came, a check rose up in your spirit, a season in your life started changing. And on the outside, you know, it just looked like nothing. But on the inside, you know that it means something. And that's what I want to talk to us today about, is because life will send you arrows. Everybody just say arrows. And here's the thing about arrows, when life sends them, not every arrow is easy to read. Some arrows warn you. Some arrows will redirect you. Some arrows will protect you. Some are sent to prepare you. But the problem, and I think in our faith, is if you misread the arrows, you can stay too long in a place that God told you to leave. You can leave too soon from a place that God told you to endure. If you don't know how to read the arrows, you can call protection rejection. And now you're struggling with all kind of problems and rejection and nobody likes me. And God says, I set the whole thing up because you had no business being there. I had something better for you. You were the first to cut from the job and you were like, what happened? Does God not love me? And God said, I moved heaven and earth to get you out of that thing because you didn't read the arrows. Right? So we got to be real good at figuring out how to read the arrows that are showing up in our life. And here's what I've come to find when it comes to arrows in my life. I cannot always decipher the arrows alone. It's hard to do alone. You know, I so loved as I was preparing for this message, I met with my pastor, Pastor Sam Smucker, and, you know, just we meet every once in a while and just talking about life and church and ministry. And I was complaining to him about something and I'm like, you know, I don't think, you know, does it have to be this way for me? And, you know, it's not like every other pastor. And he just paused because, you know, he oversees, I don't know how many churches, but between Worship Center and Rhema churches, you know, hundreds of churches probably. And he said, listen. And he just gave me a few examples, and I won't tell you what, but he gave me one sentence, and it changed my entire perspective. And suddenly I realized that I wasn't unique in this. This is common. But here I'm living in like an isolated place thinking that God's not, like, God, why isn't this working? God, you know, why is this a struggle? Why is it like this over here? And it's like one piece of wisdom from somebody who could see the arrow a little differently than I could see the arrow. Come on. changed my perspective and freed me from something that I was struggling with. And so here's what I've come to find is you cannot always decipher the arrows alone. Look at King David, which is where we're going to hang around in this story today. David could kill a giant, but where we're going to find David is a moment in his life where he needed Jonathan to help him read some arrows. David had oil put on his head, but yet he still needed a voice in the field. David was anointed from God, but yet he still needed a person from God to help him navigate. So I want to say this right from the top. Needing people doesn't make you weak. Needing people makes you absolutely wise. Why? God never designed you to do life alone. He never designed you to do life alone. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, but when Adam, he created Adam in the garden, it was God and it was Adam. Adam wasn't alone, he had God. God was coming down, God was speaking to him. But even in that perfect environment where Adam and God were in perfect unity, God said, you need somebody like you. You need a person like you. You need a helpmate. So God, right from creation, never designed you to do life alone. Even David, King David, needed people in his life. He had oil on his head, but he still needed Jonathan. So again, some arrows will come at you to warn you, to redirect you, to prepare you, to protect you. But here's what the line that I want you to put in your spirit today. Not every arrow is an attack. Some arrows are instructions. Some arrows are instructions. If we go back a little bit in David's life, and I know we know a lot about David, but I just want to get us all on the same page today. David was anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. He didn't look the part. His brothers looked the part, but God refused his brothers. His father didn't even invite him at first, but God had already chosen David, which reminds us when God said, come on, man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. So Samuel pours oil on David, and from that day forward, the Spirit of God, here's what I want you to see, the Spirit of God was on David. Did David have the Spirit of God on him? Yes. David was chosen. He was marked. He was anointed. He was called to be the next king. So David's anointed to be king, but it does not immediately make him king. If you know David's life, you know he goes back to the sheep. Eventually, he finds himself in a valley with Goliath. He defeats Goliath and then goes and starts serving Saul, starts playing music in the palace. Whenever Saul would get tormented, David would play, and the Bible says that the spirits would lift off of Saul. Come on, you want to talk about anointed music. David would play and demonic spirits would leave Saul. And then David starts fighting battles. The people begin to sing, Saul has struck down his thousands, but David his tens thousands. And when Saul begins to hear this, jealousy enters Saul's heart. And he stops seeing David as a blessing and starts seeing David as a threat. And friends, listen, this is exactly what insecurity does. It makes you attack what God actually sent you to help you. Think about that. David had not dishonored Saul. David had served Saul. He had fought for Saul. He played music whenever Saul was tormented. He had carried himself with humility. But Saul's heart was unhealthy. I just want you to see this because not everything that's happening to you is because you are in the wrong. Some things that are happening is because there are some unhealthy hearts around you. What you find from David's life is his struggle wasn't trying to even correct Saul's heart. Huh. Because we think we are everybody's Holy Spirit. We think we are sent by God divinely to fix everybody. I need to tell my boss that this is right, I'm right, they're wrong. I have to fix my coworkers, I gotta fix my spouse. But look what David did. David just said, all I have to do is keep honoring, keep serving, and keeping my heart right before God. Why? Because the heart of the king is in the Father's hands. Saul's heart was unhealthy. And an unhealthy heart, listen, will start to misinterpret healthy people. An unhealthy heart will start to misinterpret healthy people. That's why you can kind of see it when people start to disconnect or they start to become unhealthy or they're going through something. Like you just said hi and they're like, you know, I didn't like that smirk on her face. And you're like, well, I don't, I mean, sorry that I said hi. So David is in the temple with Saul and Saul takes a spear and throws it at David in an attempt to kill him. Pause there for a second. Saul begins to throw spears at the very man who had been helping him, been playing so the demons would leave, been going to battle so that Israel would stay protected, fought Goliath when nobody else, including Saul. Remember, Saul tried to give David his armor. Saul had armor. And Saul tries to kill the very man who had been helping him. Now, feel that tension. David is anointed, but attacked. He's chosen, but he's chased. He's called, but he is confused. He is favored by God, but in this moment, he is frustrated. I didn't mean to preach about your life right now, right? But come on, have you ever felt like there's a promise? There's something God's called you to. You can see the vision. You know what his will is for your life, but it just constantly feels like everything's against you and everybody's against you, and you don't know why you're constantly misunderstood. There's a promise of a throne, but David finds himself hiding in a field. You know God said something to you. He put something into your heart. You know he called you for more, but instead of things getting easier, they start getting harder. And maybe you thought, well, my obedience will open the door, but instead it created a battle. You thought the favor of God would mean everyone would celebrate you, but what you didn't anticipate are the people who resented you. I'm just bringing you in on the conversation today because you've been praying, God, use me, use my life. And when God starts using you and using your life, it's not all butterflies and roses. Come on, somebody. You thought the path to the promise would be simple, but now you find yourself in a season that you completely do not understand. And this is exactly where David is. And this is the first lesson that we learn from David. Being anointed does not mean you will always know what to do next. Being anointed does not always know, being anointed does not mean you will always know what to do next. Was David anointed? Yes. Did he have the Spirit of God? Yes. You can still be anointed and still need advice. You can be gifted and still need guidance. You can hear from God, but still need confirmation. Actually, let me say this. If you have heard from God, I would still wait for confirmation. Come on, somebody. You can have faith and still need friendship. See, the problem is some people get an anointing. What I mean by the anointing is that empowerment to do what God has called you to do. Right, and they get an anointing, and sometimes people let the anointing make you arrogant. I don't need anybody. I got me, I got God, I got the Holy Spirit. I don't need any advice, I don't need any wisdom, I don't need anybody to come alongside me, I don't need anybody to help me decipher the arrows. And what happens is people let their gift make them unteachable. Sometimes people let their last victory convince them that they don't need counsel in the present. I look at Joshua. You know, Joshua was a mighty man of God, anointed of God. And they were winning battle after battle after battle. But here's where Joshua won. Is they at the Battle of Ai, they started to lose. And Joshua didn't come up on his high horse and say, no, we are the people of God. We have a promise for the land. We won't retreat. We're gonna keep going. We're gonna rush in. He said, something's not right. He pulled everybody back. And you know what he did? He consulted the Lord. And there are actually multiple examples of this happening in Joshua's life. And in one example, God said, he inquired of the Lord and God said, go again. Just go again, get up and keep going. All right. But at the battle of Ai, when Joshua consulted the Lord, God said, there's sin in the camp. Because the last battle you were in, I said, everything belongs to me. All the spoil, all the gold, it all belonged to God. But somebody got greedy, took some of it, buried it in the tent, and disobeyed God. And God said, that's the reason that you're losing. It's not that you did anything wrong, but somebody in the camp didn't follow the instruction. So what am I saying is sometimes God says, yep, get up and go again. And sometimes God says the reason that you're losing is because there's something not right in your heart or in your life. Are you with me today? So the key in all of it is not to get so arrogant that we think we can do it on our own, but to come back every time and consult the Lord and say, why? What's happening? So David had oil in his head, but he still needed that voice in the field. That's why Proverbs 11:14, I love it. It says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Where there's people speaking into your life, where there's people speaking into your world, where there's people helping you decipher the arrows, what does this mean? What is happening? Can I submit to you, you will get further, faster, when you allow people who have been where you wanna go, say, oh, you know, like, have you ever asked somebody for directions? I know we don't do that much anymore because, you know, the lady on the phone tells us now. But, you know, somebody give you directions and they're like, hey, don't take the first exit. You need to go to the second. Why? Because they took the first exit. They knew it was wrong. What are they doing? They're saving you time. They're saving you frustration. That exit, don't go there. Are you with me? So sometimes having people, having wisdom, that abundance of counselors, why is there safety? Because you're allowing people to speak into your world. And there's protection in right relationships. There's wisdom in having people close enough, and here's the key, to tell you the truth. I'm just in that season of life where it's like, just tell me. God, just tell me. I'd rather you just tell me the truth so I can deal with it and move on versus going around the same mountain 40 times like the Israelites, wasting 40 years not seeing the promise because I refuse to consult the Lord or I refuse to allow God's people access to my life because I thought I could do it on my own. Listen, David's future was too important for him to discern alone. And so is yours. Your future is too important. The second thing I want you to see today is Jonathan had access David did not have. See, Jonathan was Saul, King Saul's son. That means Jonathan was in the palace. He had access that David did not have. Jonathan heard conversations that David did not hear. That's why I always tell people, listen, never worry when God removes somebody from your life. Why? Because he heard conversations that you will never know about. I thought they were my friend, and then suddenly they're just gone. And God said, yeah, because I heard them on the phone. I saw the text messages. You don't got to understand all of it. You just got to trust the provision of God. I've said this for years. If God removes it from your life, it means he's looked at it and estimated that you do not need it to fulfill your destiny. But God, that job, it was gonna provide, it was gonna be the open door. It's what I've been believing for. God looked at it and estimated not necessary. So when something leaves your life, trust the provision of God, trust the knowledge of God. Say, all right, God, that that one hurt, that one came out of left field, I was not expecting that one, but I trust you. See, Jonathan, Saul, his father, King Saul's mood when David wasn't in the room. Jonathan understood the atmosphere of the palace more than anybody else. And David was on the outside trying to understand what was happening on the inside. You see that? And this is one of the reasons that God gives us right people. Why? Because sometimes God places people in your life who can see from an angle that you can't see from. They have a perspective that you do not have, wisdom that you do not have, experience that you do not have. Come on, you all have that one family member or that one friend who you are like, come on, I keep telling them not to date that kind of person, but they keep going to that same one again and again, but they don't see it. Why? Because in many people's life, there are blind spots that hurt, that pain, that failure just has created a blind spot, or just arrogance, but created a blind spot that they can't see the road they're going down. And you're over here going, whoa, wait, listen, he's the same, she's the same. Don't chase it, come on. And I know we're all like, yeah, right now you're thinking of those people. But there's somebody in your life thinking about you. And they're saying, if they would just, why? Because just as other people have blind spots, so do you. So do you. Pain, hurt, rejection causes these blind spots. And we need people in our life who have a perspective that we do not have, who can see our life from the outside looking in. See, listen, David was the one being hunted. What does that mean? It means that David did not have the best position to be objective. He was running for his life. He had the potential to make some huge errors, make some fatal calls, sacrifice his destiny. Why? Because he had a blind spot. The man that he had spent his life serving and helping was now seeking to kill him. And you know this, when you are emotional, everything feels urgent. And I'm only laughing because you've been in the same boat as me. You sent the email, you sent the text message, and the next day you wake up and you're like, I mean, it's not that I'm wrong, but I maybe could have said it nicer or not said anything at all. Or practice what Melody Hilton taught us, that if they don't ask, I won't offer. And man, I've been trying to put that into practice. That's one of the hardest things you ever get in life, is to hold your tongue. But when you're emotional, as David would have been in this moment, everything feels urgent. Everything seems personable. Everyone looks dangerous. When you're tired, everything feels impossible. And that's why you need people surrounding you that can help you see clearly. I like what David says to Jonathan in 1 Samuel 21. He says, what have I done? What is my guilt? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life? What is David doing here? He's trying to make sense of Saul's behavior. He's asking, is this my fault? Did I do something? Why is all of this happening? And sometimes, listen, when people are under attack, they start internalizing someone else's dysfunction. Who was the dysfunctional one here in this relationship? Saul. Saul was the problem. But David is starting to internalize Saul's dysfunction and thinking he's the crazy one. Spouses, do not look to your left or your right. And what happens is then people try to explain someone else's jealousy by questioning their own obedience. Well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I should have held back. Maybe I shouldn't have started the business. I just thought I was doing what God told me to do by going back to school or pursuing the relationship. I didn't realize that their dysfunction was going to cause all these problems. Now, listen, you should always check your own heart. You should always ask, Lord, is there anything in me that needs correction? But hear me clearly today, friends. Sometimes the issue is not that you did something wrong. Sometimes the issue is that someone else cannot handle what God is doing in your life. Here's what I have found. When people have given up on following God or given up on their dreams, the first thing they automatically do is try to get everyone else to give up on theirs. Why? Because if one person gets out, come on, y'all in prison together, and one person escapes, it hangs a spotlight. If they can do it, and I choose not to do it, then it reveals that I'm not held here because it's impossible to get out. I'm held here because of my unwillingness to try, my unwillingness to rise up, my unwillingness to fight. So what people try to do is they say, instead of me helping you dig the tunnel to escape, sit down, shut up, look like me, let's all stay miserable together. And as soon as you start changing, as soon as you start being the one in the little gossip club at lunch break in your office that says, you know what, it's not great here, but I'm thankful that we have a job. I'm thankful that the Lord is providing. What's wrong with her? Why is she trying to act better than everybody else? Why? Because they would rather you stay bitter and miserable just like them, stuck in an endless cycle, than walk out in victory and watch the blessing of God hit your life because you chose the promise of God. You chose joy. You chose humility. You chose obedience when everybody else did just stay where you are. So sometimes the issue is that other people can't handle what God is doing in your life. You know what? God's been convicting me. I want to go to the movies. I want to hang out with you, but I can't watch that. Oh, here we go. She must have got that Holy Ghost fire thing. So a true friend will help you stop carrying what is not yours. A true friend can help you discern the difference between conviction and condemnation. A true friend can help you tell the difference between correction and manipulation. A true friend will say, yep, check your heart. Check your heart, but don't accept a burden that God did not assign to you. Their problem, their chaos, that's not your problem. I'm not their God. David knew that. I'm not Saul's God. I'm not Saul's Holy Spirit. The heart of the king is in the hands of God. There's nothing that I can do about Saul. Unless he wanted to rebel against God and kill Saul. Listen, this is why pride is dangerous. Why? Because pride says, I don't need anyone. Wisdom says God may speak through someone else. But pride says, I already know. Wisdom says, let me just listen. Let me glean. Let me just hear. Pride says, I can handle this. So listen, the anointing does not exempt you from needing counsel. David had oil on his head, but he still needed a voice in the field. And thirdly, today, as we wind this up, and I think this is so powerful, Jonathan was not threatened by David's destiny. One of the most powerful parts of this story is that Jonathan had every single earthly reason to be jealous of David. Every reason. Why? Jonathan was Saul's son. In a normal kingdom, Jonathan would have been the next in line for the throne. It would have been an automatic transfer. Saul's dead, Jonathan, you're in. But something got mixed up in the process when God rejected Saul and sent the prophet to David's house, and David gets anointed to be the next king. David's destiny seems to interrupt Jonathan's expected future. Now, if this story would have played out on an NBC soap opera, you can bet that Jonathan would have said, come on, give me the poison, give me the guns, get the troops together. We're going to take out David instantly. He's going to try to usurp my place. I'm the next king. I don't care what oil flowed on who. This thing is mine. Come on, somebody. Jonathan could have easily seen David as competition, easily sided with Saul, his own blood, his own father. He could have easily said, no, I got to protect my future. What about me? Where am I going to live? What's going to happen to me? He could have said, David, man, I love you, but blood is blood. But Jonathan does something so rare. He recognizes the hand of God on David and makes a covenant with him. Let's see it in 1 Samuel. And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. I love this because Jonathan could have protected his inheritance, but he chose instead to protect David's destiny. That is a kingdom friend right there. That is a secure, godly friend. I don't have to bring somebody else down to elevate my own self. I don't have to hope something bad happens to somebody else because, you know, God only has so many blessings in heaven. Like he can only choose one of us. I don't have to tear you down to better myself. I can protect you and I'll trust God with what's supposed to happen to me. I'll trust God what's supposed to be my destiny. I'll trust God with what's supposed to be my future. Jonathan, man, what a picture of a secure, godly friend. Why? Because Jonathan understood something that Saul never understood, that the kingdom belongs to God. See, Saul saw the kingdom as his possession. It's mine. David, he can't take it. But Jonathan understood that it didn't belong to a person. It was God's kingdom. And you need people in your life who are not intimidated by what God puts on you. You need people who can celebrate you without competing with you. People who can cover you without controlling you. People who can look at you and say, I recognize the hand of God on your life and I'm here to fight for that. I'm here to protect it. You know, intercessory prayer, that word intercession means to stand in the gap and cover. So an intercessor is somebody who covers someone else in prayer. You need some intercessory friends, some people who aren't just, you know, worried about what they get out of it, but somebody who will pray and cover you when it has nothing to do with you or no benefit to them. They just love you like that. They understand that with God gets to do in you what he wants to do in you, it'll affect the kingdom of God. And he's no respecter of persons. So if he has a plan for your life or their life, he's got a plan for your life. So what I'm saying, quit lowering yourself. Quit just, you know, saying, well, you know, these are my people. These are, no. If you're going to get where God's called you to be, you got to raise the expectation level a little bit. But I'll say this, we also need to become that kind of person for other people. That I can celebrate someone else's open door while I'm still waiting on mine. I can dance and shout and rejoice when somebody else gets a healing in their body when the doctor just said mine's getting worse. Can you help someone else walk into their calling without making it all about you? What a beautiful Jonathan. Jonathan became great in scripture, not because he got the throne, but because he helped protect the one that God called to sit on that throne. Some people are great in the kingdom, not because they stand in the spotlight or on the platform, but because they help someone else survive the season that almost killed them. Cue wind beneath my wings right here, right? If you weren't born before the 90s, you have no idea what I'm talking about. So let's bring this whole thing home today. Let's go to the field. David and Jonathan create a plan. Saul is throwing a feast and David's not sure, should I go to the feast? I don't want to anger Saul and not show up. But what if I go to the feast? Because the last time I was with Saul, he did throw a spear and tried to kill me. So what do I do? How do I navigate? How do I know if this is a setup and a trap to take my life? So they come up with this plan that David will not attend the feast. And they know that Saul is going to notice David's empty seat at the table and Jonathan is going to watch for Saul's reaction. And if Saul is calm and doesn't really care that David's not there, then they're going to know that David is safe. Saul was over it. It was just low sugars. It was whatever. But if Saul explodes in anger, then David knows that this was a setup by King Saul to get David in the room and that David needs to run. And so here in 1 Samuel, we see this plan come about. It says, I will shoot 3 arrows to the side of it as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send the boy saying, go find the arrows. If I say to the boy, look, the arrows are on the side of you, take them. And then you are to come, for as the Lord lives, it is safe for you and there is no danger. But if I say to the youth, look, the arrows are beyond you, then go, for the Lord has sent you away. These arrows weren't random. Again, this is bringing us back to what we started with. When arrows show up in your life, a disappointment, a hurt, a loss, it's hard to determine, is this from God? Is this just the result of my own decisions? Is this an attack of the enemy? How do I know what to do? And sometimes, listen, when things happen in your life, they just look random to everybody else. But there's purpose. There's purpose in it. So the question that we have to figure out is, what does it mean? And right here, listen, is where many people get stuck. They see the arrow, but they don't know how to interpret it. Is this an attack or is this protection? Is this delay or is this denial? So again, we come back to the fact that David needed Jonathan to help him know what the arrows meant. If they fall to the right, you're safe. If they go beyond, it means you're not safe. Run for your life. And listen, this, what I'm saying is David couldn't discern that on his own. Jonathan had the inside perspective. Jonathan had the access. Jonathan had the bird's eye view. And Jonathan could help David decipher what the arrows would mean. We need people. And some of us, our lives are just out of control, and it's simply because we're trying to decipher the arrows from our own perspective. Because we're trying to navigate life on our own. But God said, I'll place you in a family. I'll put you in a community. I'll bring people around you. But you have to open your heart. You have to open the door. If I was David, I would have looked at Jonathan and said, love you, buddy, but I can't trust you. You have every reason on the earth to lie to me here. You're the last person. But David had to let his guard down and trust the godly relationships that God put in his life. And it was those relationships that would secure the throne to come. Listen, you cannot afford to miss the arrows. I really want to lean into this. You cannot afford to misread the arrows into this season. Why? Because if you're reading the arrow and calling it fear, but God's just calling it a warning, what are you going to do? You're going to stay too long. If God is redirecting you and you are calling it rejection, what's going to happen is you are going to become bitter in your life. Sometimes rejection is a blessing from God. It is God closing a door and sending you the direction you need to be. And sometimes you just got to say, thanks, God. Thank you. Come on. I know I was the first bidder on that car on Facebook Marketplace and they sold it out under me. I'm mad. But God said, no, there was something going on that you didn't know about. And I had that thing sell. That house went off the market. The job got filled. Why? Because I trust him. I'm going to say, then you have something better. If God is protecting you and you call it loss, you will grieve what heaven was trying to save you from. Many of us, God's trying to prepare us. What do? We call it punishment. And we resent the very process that God is using to form us. So when we resist the training or the instruction, because the Bible still says that those whom he loves, he chastises or he corrects. And so whenever we enter into an arrow of correction and we become bitter and resent it, what are we destined to do, Israel? Forfeit our promised land because we won't yield to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Listen, just as faithful as Jonathan was, there were people who were just as faithful and connected to Saul, who would have took David out without blinking an eye. Why? Because they were clinging to Saul for a position, for power, because they were misreading the arrows. God had rejected Saul. And worship team, you can come today. So I want you to hear this. Arrows in your life are important, and it's important to understand what they are and what they mean. Arrows did not cancel David's promise. Arrows protected David's promise. Arrows did not mean that David missed God. Arrows actually meant that God was moving. Arrows meant that the season had changed. And why am I talking about this in this Come Sit With Us series? Is because you cannot afford in your life to misread the arrows. So how does God help us read the arrows? He brings us Jonathans. He brings us people around us who can see from a different perspective, see it a different way. So let's stand to our feet together. You know, Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Who breaks out against all sound judgment? Whoever isolates himself. And listen, I know the world we live in makes it hard to trust people, makes it hard to open yourself up. But Jesus is even greater than Jonathan. The Bible says that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So my encouragement for you today is, listen, life is going to send you some arrows. Some of them are meant to warn you. Some of them are meant to redirect you. Some of them are meant to protect you or prepare you. And yes, you are anointed. Yes, you are called. Yes, you have a promise. Yes, you have a destiny. But you still need voices in the field. So I want to pray for anyone in the room today who you're like, God, I want that. I want Jonathans in my life. I want to become a Jonathan. I want people to help me discern. I want people to speak into my life. And I'm going to pray for you today that God would show you who those true Jonathans are. But I also want to pray that God would reveal the Sauls in your life. The people who are inviting you to the banquet, not for the intention of celebrating you or befriending you, but to end you. I don't mean that in a natural way, but. And I'm gonna pray today that the Lord would make you and I Jonathans in someone else's life. So Father, I pray for every person right now. And if that's you in the room and you just feel like I need Jonathans, just lift up your hands. And Father, I thank you for every person who's asking now. We first of all, yes, Father, we consult you first. But you said that you would send men and women into our life. They would give into our bosom. They would be that counsel, that direction. So Lord, we're standing in front of you as your people and we're saying, Father, we see that we can't do it on our own. We need people. We need community. We need to do life together. So while we're asking, Father, would you send us Jonathans? Send us those who will cover us and protect us and call us out and speak the truth to us in love and not be afraid. Why? Because not because they're controlling, but because they see the call of God on the inside of us, who will stand and say, you are too valuable. You are too loved. There's too much destiny. There's too much purpose. God's brought you through too many things to fail you now. So get up, quit the pity party, and let's keep moving forward. And just as much as I pray that, Father, I pray that you would reveal the Sauls, those that the enemy has sent to sidetrack us, those that the enemy would send to try to pull us off course. And I speak this and I pray this now in the name of Jesus. Any children that are represented in this room through their parents, we break any assignments of friendships that are not ordained by God in the name of Jesus. Any arrows that were sent to pull our children off course, to get them into lies and into addiction, we break those assignments in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask for wisdom in discerning who are Sauls and who are Jonathans. And Lord, you said in your word that this principle would be true, that what we give would be given back unto us. So help us be that Jonathan. Help us celebrate somebody else, even when we're waiting. help us encourage a brother and a sister. Help us be that cloud of witnesses saying, go, go, come on. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.